This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. It remembers my daughter's temperature, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. And it keeps her entertained with games while we wait. Check it out at kinsahealth.com.
Come on, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts, here's Heather!
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody! Welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood, episode number 27. I'm Heather Brooker. Thank you for joining me in the new year on Motherhood in Hollywood. We have now officially passed the six-month mark. Yay! And I could not be more thrilled about it. I wasn't sure if I would just do a couple of episodes and then be like, I'm out. But I'm actually still having a great time. And it seems like everybody listening is having a great time as well. So thank you so much for continuing to listen and support Motherhood in Hollywood. If you have not done so yet, please take a minute. Go on iTunes and hit subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood. If you're just downloading episodes, that's fine too. But if you could click subscribe on my podcast show, that would be a big help to me as well, so I can see how many of you guys are out there, who's listening, why you're listening. No, I don't care about all that. But if you would hit subscribe, you can also subscribe on Stitcher if you're listening on a non-Apple device, and Player FM as well. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have a great show today. My guest is Vina Kronholm. She is a former Miss California. And you guys, I cannot wait to pick her brain about, you guessed it, the Miss Universe pageant. The recent Steve Harvey flub, I guess you can call it. And some conspiracy theories that are floating around his appearance and his mishap, if you will, on that show. So we have a lot of fun things to talk about. Also, we talk about the pageant world in general. Very fascinated with pageants and why women are motivated to do them. And we also talk about whether or not pageants are still relevant today. So you definitely want to make sure you listen to that. Vina has some wonderful things to say about pageants and, of course, about being a mom, which is the best. So now, what do I have for you guys? Oh, I actually have a really big announcement. So for those of you who don't follow me on social media, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, follow me on social media, MIH Podcast on Twitter and Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and Instagram. I also Periscope too. If you're on the Periscope, go and check that out. Find me at MIH Podcast, because this is the year my husband and I, coming up in May, will be celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary. Oh, I know. We look so young. We basically got married when we were kids. It's fine. We're still young and fabulous. But this is the year, coming up in May, we're going to be celebrating 15 years together. And I'm going to get real with you guys. Real. I have been very frustrated lately with my weight and how I look and how I feel physically. I literally eat nothing but garbage. Whatever is in the kitchen, whatever's left over from Channing's, lunch, or, just whatever happens to be laying around. I'm like a human garbage truck, basically, just shoving food in my face. And with my 15-year wedding anniversary impending, I'm just sort of, I'm feeling very frustrated. I'm feeling very uncomfortable in my own skin, in my clothes. I'm feeling very unhealthy. And I know it's not good, because it's not good for anybody to feel unhealthy and constantly be shoveling crap in their face. But it's also not really setting a great example for my daughter. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love myself. I love my body. I love what my body can do, because it made my daughter and it made this wonderful human being that I love so much. But I just personally, as a woman, don't feel great. And I don't like not being able to shop at the stores I want to shop at and wear the clothes I want to wear because I am so overweight. And it's not even that I'm like just like a big barrel of fat. I'm just I'm uneven in my fatness. Like I have a ton of belly fat. I know you guys, if you've listened to my episode with Sarah Haley, you've heard me talk about it before, about how I still have this giant, you know, tummy that makes me still look like I'm pregnant. I've got a huge badonk. And this is the year I've decided, you can call it a resolution, you can call it whatever you want, but this is the year I've decided I am going to lose 15 pounds by my 15th wedding anniversary. And I am going to find as many fun and exciting ways and interesting and unique ways to lose that weight as I possibly can. So I'm going to be trying out all kinds of fitness classes, workout routines, DVDs, things to do at home, things to do in the gym. All the world is my oyster. Is kind of how I'm putting it myself. I just want to find fun and entertaining ways to fit working out into my lifestyle. Because if you're anything like me, I hate going to the gym. It just seems like such a pain in the butt. I feel like I am stopping what I'm doing during my day to go and work out. And I know some people are really into working out. They love it. They thrive on it. It's like they get a high from, you know, running for 10 hours, which to me just sounds horrible. So I actually, you know, used to be into sports. I used to play soccer. I love the idea of, working out in a competitive way. You know, but I don't know how to do that anymore. Like I'm an old mom now. Like, it's not like I can go sign up for soccer, you know, be on a soccer team again or go play volleyball again or something like that. So, I'm challenging myself over the next few months to look for fun, creative ways to work out, to lose my 15 pounds by my 15th wedding anniversary. And I purposely set my goal to be somewhat smaller because I want to achieve it. Like, I don't want to overwhelm myself and go from like 0 to 100 and then get burnt out in the first month and not reach my goal. So I've set my goal to be a little bit smaller. And man, I could really use your support. If you guys want to, you know, email me or tweet at me, tell me if you have any ideas or any suggestions, anything, any kind of workout you think might be fun for a mom of a 2.5-year-old to do, anywhere I could take my daughter with me. Oh, I'd love to hear that. If you guys have any suggestions on ways I can work out with my daughter, I would definitely be open to that. But I'm definitely still reserving the right to say, no, I'm not going to do that. if somebody sends me some lame suggestion, I'm not doing it. No, but really, you guys, this is a very big thing for me to admit that I need to get healthy. And I know I do. I just really, it's not easy to talk about, especially as a woman, not easy to talk about your weight and how you look and how you feel. And this is a really big thing for me to admit to the world, basically, who, again, I know is listening to my podcast. So if you want to do it with me, if you want to join me in my 15 by 15 challenge, come on, let's do it. Let's all get skinny. And then who knows, after that, maybe we'll do another 15. We'll see. So that's it, you guys. And make sure you keep track of me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because I'll be posting my progress and any new workout routines and, you know, gyms or whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm trying. I'm open to it all. Let's do it. Woohoo! 2016. Bring it on. Okay. So you guys, you're going to love this. I'm now going to share with you the interview I did with Vina Crownholm, former Miss California. Enjoy. All right. So we have a lot to talk about today, and I'm so excited that my guest is Vina Crownholm, Miss California, Miss Hollywood. Is that right?
Actually, Miss Southland. I didn't Southland. Get to be Miss Hollywood. Oh. I was so bummed out.
There's a Miss Southland, too. I feel like there's so many titles.
There's 60 in for the Miss California pageant. So wow. There is a lot of titles.
Wow. And so how did you get interested in beauty pageants and that sort of thing?
Well, I was actually in college, and although my parents were very generous at UCLA to pay for my living expenses, they weren't paying for my tuition. So no need to live there if I don't have any money for tuition. And so I had some scholarship money from a program I did in high school. So that covered me for my first year, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I joined a sorority. And so I was flipping.
What sorority were you in?
I was a Pi Phi.
Oh, no. Pi Phis. I was a Gamma Phi Beta. We're going to have a total girl moment. Well, I think we'll probably have a couple of girly
You guys
moments.
Were our neighbors, like just a couple houses up the street.
Yeah, yeah. The Pi Phis at our house were like, they were very, I went to Oklahoma State. So okay. They were like very wealthy, oil money, you know, kind of Southern chicks. They were always very nice and very sweet, but I mean, you know, it's different from every college to college, but like there, they were just very like old money, you know, ball gown type ladies.
I dig it. That's so fun. mine was not like that. No. I'm not sure why I joined Pi Phi because it was a party house. Yay! And I don't really party.
You don't at all?
Not really. I just was really busy with like, I twirled for the band and did other things. And so I just didn't have the time, nor could I be hungover the next morning to go to band practice.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to listen to that for 3 hours hungover.
Oh my God. I know. I was in the band. I was in the drum section.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was, I played the quads and the bass whenever they need me to carry the bass drum. I know. But then I would stop, like I would do the halftime. I was also a cheerleader. So I would do like the halftime cheer routine. I went to a really small high school. And then I would put my pom-poms down, go and pick up the quads and go out and march with the marching band.
See, I knew there was something about us that like made sense. I was also a cheerleader, so I would cheer. And then so cheerleading, you do a little like dance that you would do at halftime in high school. Then I would take off my skirt and my top and then I'd have my twirling costume on and go on with the marching band and then put the cheer uniform back on and
and just finish the rest of the
game. It was amazing. That's but marching band is the best.
You know what? My mom used to tell me all the time, cheerleading is never going to get you where in life. You really need to stick with the band. And I was like, where is playing the quad drums or the xylophones going to get me in life? Like, where am I going to be? I mean, but maybe there might have been something to it because I don't cheer right now either. So maybe I should have listened.
You know what? I don't cheer either.
I know. There's very few people, like the longevity, the lifespan of a cheerleader is like, what, maybe, I don't know, a little bit post-college. And then I guess you can go on to be a coach or like, I don't know. I don't know any like cheerleaders in their 40s and 50s who are still out there just giving it.
Baton twirling is much the same.
Yeah.
I mean, competitive baton twirling peaks around 13. So you're on your like downward spiral as you like twirl in high school and college. And then you can become a baton coach or.
That's so funny.
There's a couple people in Cirque du Soleil, but that's a very rare number of people.
And they probably do like a million other things like in Cirque du Soleil.
Absolutely.
Now, where did you say you're from originally?
I'm from Orange County.
I'm from Orange County. Okay. So that's so great that you did all that too. I love it. Was your school small or were you just like overachiever?
No. My school was, I mean, it was a big high school. It was like 1,600 people, but our marching band was like 25 people.
Oh, wow.
You know, always that's like the so real small. Hit of high school, which I didn't understand because without the band, there's nothing fun to play during the football game.
Absolutely. It's the thing that everybody like, you know, claps along with and they get into the band. Like the band is the drum line, and especially I'm gonna just
the drum line's pretty
crucial.
The drum line
in particular is kind of the bomb. They even made movies about it, if I remember right.
What's that's right. The
movie? Drumline?
I think it is Drumline.
Yeah.
Just as simple and straightforward.
Yes. I finally remembered the name of a movie. I'm like, I'm in entertainment and I cannot remember names of movies or actors to save my life.
See, like, I'm the same. Like with people, I can remember the conversation, everything we talked about and faces. No name.
No name. So you, okay, so let's back up a little bit. So let's go back into, when did you start doing pageants? How old are you?
I didn't really ever do a pageant. I did a program called Junior Miss, which was an academic program in high school. So that's what started me. And then when I was in college, I was looking through those flyers that they bring by your sorority house.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm flipping through and it was like, do you want to win $1,500 in a weekend in scholarships? I'm like,
and you were
yes
please.
and it was like, do you have a talent? I'm like, I guess I do. I could do that. And then would you walk in a bathing suit? I'm like, I could suck it up and do it.
Did you not like that part of the pageants?
I think it's, you know, although it's like the founding nature of Miss America and then ultimately the Miss Universe organization, I think it's really antiquated in today's terms. I mean, if we're calling it lifestyle and fitness, I consider myself a pretty healthy person. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather showcase that. But it is really different. Like, I think about it. I'm a big, like, I do one-to-bar Pilates here. Like, I'm a big Pilates person. Oh, yeah. I eat mostly vegan food and I like hiking. it's really hard to showcase that for someone to be like, look at me. I can do like a plank for 2 minutes. Like, people don't really want to see that.
So are they trying to transition from the bikini competition or the swimsuit competition to a, calling it a lifestyle and fitness? Is that what you mean?
It's been called lifestyle and fitness for, I don't even know. I mean, at least 15 years.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's interesting.
Everybody just calls it, I've always just called it a swimsuit. Yeah.
Because that's what it is.
That's what they do. They come out and they look amazing in their swimsuit and I gorge on chocolate and I'm like, oh, I do myself. Too. I look amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how something's called lifestyle and fitness because
if
when was the last
showcase fitness? Yeah.
You don't wear like 4-inch heels or platform shoes with your bathing suit. Like,
you don't.
And like butt glue and like fake boobs.
Oh my
I
God,
mean,
tell me about the butt glue. So where does everything go? Like, do you feel pressure to like keep everything pulled in and hidden and tucked away and like all of that stuff because you don't want to have like a Janet Jackson style moment, you know what I mean, like where something falls out or a
that
wardrobe malfunction
does happen. Do you want a fun story about okay, so one of my nearest and dearest friends, we were actually competing for Miss Hollywood, Miss Hollywood Southland, and we're doing like the run through and she's like in her bathing suit and she was very well endowed in the top, I'll put it that way. And she's doing her practice walk, and it's at the Barnstall Theater. She's walking around, and all of a sudden, the top just busts open and falls off.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And she was completely mortified. And then the director of the pageant, he walked over, and he was like, honey, it's gay men and straight women, so you're totally okay here. Nobody cares.
That's true. It's totally true.
It is.
Do you think there are any hetero men that are watching though? Like, do you think there are straight men who are just like, oh, look at these hot ladies? Or do you think that's sort of, it really is a relegated to the gay men and the straight woman?
I mean, I think that that's a very solid market for pageants. However, I think there's like straight men in the closet, like not in the closet in like that sense, but like in the fan sense, you know, because I think they all kind of want to see these, you know, what we quote unquote call like hot girls in bathing suits.
Yeah.
And I think internationally for Miss Universe, especially, there's a lot of Latin men and people in different countries that just really support their girls in a much more open sense than I think we do in the United States.
So what was your first competition that you took part in?
I did Miss Los Angeles. That's when I was in college.
Okay.
That was the pageant that I ended up winning.
Wow.
And so that started me on my road.
And that was your first one to ever do?
Yes.
And you were what, 18, 19?
I was 19.
You were 19 and your first one. I bet all those girls that have been doing pageants since they were 10, like, hated you.
California is not known to have a lot of girls like that, thankfully. Like, girls seem to compete in the program for several years, but not necessarily, like, birth on.
Right.
Now, in the Midwest and South, there's a lot more of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did Miss LA, then Miss Orange County, and then Miss Hollywood Southland.
Is it sort of like one's a stepping stone to the next? Like if you compete in a smaller pageant, then you move up to a bigger one, and then eventually, you know, like Miss America? Or like, how does that work?
So it works. There's what's called local pageants. Mm-hmm. So they're free of charge, and now they actually do a $100 donation to Children's Miracle Network is your entry fee. And so you do your local level. And if you win that, like Miss LA, for instance, then you would move on to Miss California.
Okay.
And then from Miss California, you move on to Miss America.
That's so interesting. I find that to be so fascinating because it was never, pageants were never anything that were on my radar, even though I'm from the Midwest. And like, I think it's definitely become bigger now than it was way back in the day when I was like in high school. But it's so fascinating to me because I think some people have the impression that pageants are just beauty driven, but they're not. There's a lot more to them in terms of like, you have to have personality, you have to be intelligent, you have to have a talent, or some, you know, some kind of talent. So whatever that might be. I'm just fascinated with why women get into it. If it is for scholarships, if it's for, you know, where do you go once you've won Miss America, you know, or the big title of Miss Universe? Where do you go from there?
Well, I can only speak from the Miss America organization standpoint because that's what I went through. I would say the reason I did it obviously was a scholarship. That $1,500 in a weekend when you're in college, especially amazing. Back in my dinosaur ages, it was only $1,200 a quarter to go to UCLA. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge chunk of money.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So that was the draw. And then when I went to Miss California, I won another $3,200.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty easy to get hooked by that. But I don't think that ultimately... that's what you get hooked on. You get hooked on this idea that you could be Miss California, the girl that you've watched your whole life on television, mm-hmm. compete at Miss America. And I think that somewhere in there, you get lost in it. And you, like, I've been, like, I always say there's three types of contestants. There's the girl that comes the first time that's completely doe-eyed, that's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I'm just happy to be here.
That was me the first time I competed. I was just so in awe of being like, I'm going to watch the girl getting crowned Miss California, like, right here. It's wow. so cool. And then the second year I went, it's embarrassing to say, but I just wanted to win. And I really didn't have... a concept as to why.
Did you find that you sort of got bit by the competitive bug somewhere in between those pageants? Like you were like, now I'm in it to win it. I want this.
Yeah, I did. And I've always been a fairly competitive person. I was a competitive baton twirler. Like mm-hmm. I was a 5-time gold medalist at it, which is
what?
Really strange.
It's That's fantastic.
Like strange talents that you might have.
Yeah, but really cool. How many people in the world can say that? Not many. Not many.
No. But I peaked when I was 13. So yeah. That's pretty awesome. And then the third time I went, I had already graduated from UCLA and I was thinking about going to grad school. So I was thinking, well, if I could get $10,000 at Miss California and then an automatic 5 for going to Miss America, that's a pretty good start Fantastic. To going to grad school. Yeah. But I also wanted a job in the meantime that was fun, that I could get involved in my community and work with some nonprofits and just do something that was once in a lifetime. And I wanted to do something different. And so for me, I'm like, Miss California kind of fits the bill for that. And I had a really good sense of why I was doing it and what I wanted to give. And I had moved home with my parents and had a part-time job working at Skechers. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's just do it and see what happens. And in that process of that year, I finally figured out how to be myself.
Yeah.
Because every time I had competed, it was everybody else telling me, you should be like this or you should say this when you're saying that. And
did you have a coach, somebody that was coaching you along?
No, you have like your director of mm-hmm. the pageant and they ultimately kind of function like a coach and give you some tips. But the third time I went, I was like, I'm doing it my way mm-hmm. and this is the last time I'm doing it and then I'm moving on with my life. So... I just want to be me. Yeah. And that was a big thing. Like, I've never been totally comfortable being myself. And I went there and I was myself and I had no regrets.
And you won.
And I won. That's and that fantastic. Was really amazing. So I think there's that feeling of accomplishment. You're like, I did something for me and I was completely myself.
Yeah.
And I was rewarded for being myself. And that's really a cool feeling to have.
And do you feel like then you've sort of carried that through for the rest of your life? Have you been able to hold on to that sense of self? Or because I know for me, it comes and goes. I'm like, some days I'm like, I know who I am and what I'm doing. And then other days I'm like, I have no clue what's going on.
It comes and goes. But I feel like I have a marker, even like after becoming a mother, like and going mm-hmm. back into the working field mm-hmm. is being like, there was this point in my time where I felt so comfortable being myself.
Yeah.
And I know I can do it again and I can have that confidence and I can work towards it. But it's really hard to find your mojo.
It is. No, it totally is. Do you find that it was even harder for you after having your son?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I started working. Changes. Everything changes. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel very secure about myself. I quit my job. I was working in the nonprofit field. And I went into my first breastfeeding class. And they were like, say your name and your child's age and tell us something about yourself. And I wanted to crawl in a hole and die. Like,
oh, no.
It's just, you just lose that feeling of being like, I don't really know who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at this.
Yeah, it does something to your brain a little bit. Like, there is the mommy brain, but it's also, I think, all the hormones. Because you start questioning everything. And, like, for me, I was very, like, anti-kids. I was like, I'm not having kids. I don't like kids. They're gross and smelly. And then when we decided, well, okay, let's try it because I think we would regret it if we didn't. And we sort of got to the place, my husband and I did, where we were like, all right, let's do this. And then when we had her, it was like my whole world got flipped upside down. I was like, this is what I meant to do. Like, this is what I meant. I meant to be Channing's mom. And it's a weird feeling for someone who's had such a strong sense of self and identity for so long to be like, wait a minute. Now I'm Channing's mom. That's a totally different beast. And that's so cool. What's your son's name?
Eddie.
Eddie. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
And how much fun are you having being a mom? Because I know you're also a blogger.
Yes.
And do you find that you're blogging a lot about him, or do you blog more about things happening in the pageant world, or what's your blog about?
Well, in the past, it started out and it was called TRS to Babies. It was my, well, a long track, but from like, you know, life doing pageants to becoming a mother. And I wrote a lot about, you know, breastfeeding and disasters and becoming a mom and postpartum weight issues. I'd gained 70 pounds. And so that was like a huge, it was really hard for me to lose the weight.
Yeah.
And it's taken 5 years and still counting. And it's just, it's been a struggle that I didn't think that I'd have to endure.
Sure.
And just a lot of parenting fails along the way. And so that was the first couple years. And then I felt like I grew out of that and kind of into the normal, like the three-nager, which we all deal with. And then
I'm almost there.
Yeah.
I've been reading about that, the three-nager, and I'm like, is it happening at 2.5? Because sometimes it feels it like does. It
does. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's the, like my son's 5 now, and it's like negotiating with a terrorist. It's like you just can't.
Oh my gosh.
It's the most amazing thing because he has great conversational skills, but in that is also a nightmare because some things are not up for negotiation.
Right. And they want to, in their minds, they're like, I don't understand why I can't do this because I'm telling you that I can. And so obviously I should be able to. And I'm just like, you can't, or like, I find I'm constantly going, stop touching that. Don't touch that. Put that down. Don't put that in your mouth. Stop it. And then I have to be like, is it okay if she touches that? Like, I don't know. I'm constantly questioning myself. Am I doing the right thing?
I know. We don't want to ruin our kids, but it feels like that every day. We're like, am I making the right decision?
Yeah, you wonder if they're going to grow up and just like totally resent you. Like, my mom made me pee in the potty when I was 2.5. And now she's going to be like ruined for life. And I'm like, that little stupid stuff like that stresses you out because you're like, maybe for me, I think about my issues with my own mom and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that to her.
I know, right? You know? Like, it's crazy. So I think I stopped blogging about that and I took a hiatus from blogging for a while. And now I'm back and I'm writing more like beauty, you know, parenting from a different standpoint.
Yeah.
And life, more lifestyle pieces.
Well, I think that's great. I've read your blog. I mean, I haven't read every single post, but I read a lot of it.
And there's like a huge lull in there. There's like a couple years.
I
did notice
that. And I wondered like, hey, what happened there? And then I figured, well, she's a mom. It happens. Like,
it happens.
Yeah, and we all take a break.
Yeah. And I have a mom with stage 5 Parkinson's. So there's a couple years in there that really just emotionally.
That's tough. Yeah.
There was no like. No creative juices flowing to write anything.
No. And honestly, I'm always impressed with moms who are able to sit down and write stuff every day. Our mutual friend, Jill Simonian.
She's amazing.
Like, I asked her, I was like, how are you writing stuff every day? And she's like, I don't know. I just find the time. And I'm like, where? Give me your insights, lady, because I don't know. Like,
she's got 2 kids.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't know how she does it.
Yeah. So let's get to the nitty gritty here.
Sure.
Miss Universe.
Of course.
Were you watching when it came on live, or did you know all the stuff that went down beforehand?
So I don't know why. I was on Twitter on my phone, and I was laying in bed, and I was like getting ready for it. And I'm like, you know what? What's going on Twitter? And then I got consumed by Twitter and hashtag Steve Harvey. And
yeah, and you're like, what the? Do you watch all the pageants that go on now? Are you still a fan of pageantry and all of that stuff?
As long as I remember to watch it, yes.
Okay. It's not a appointment television thing for you where you're like, I have to be here because Miss Universe or Miss America is coming on.
No.
Okay.
I should be.
No, if you're over it, you're over it.
I don't think I'm over it. I just don't seem to remember it, and we don't have a DVR. So it's just about being like, okay, today at this time, do not forget.
Right. So you're watching or you're getting ready to watch and you pop onto Twitter and you see all the hashtag Steve Harveys.
I kept myself from watching the actual little clips people had put up because the East Coast, really, they luck out. They get to watch it.
They do.
Right at the right time.
As it's all going down.
It was insane. And I remember like reading all the tweets being like, this isn't possible. This can't be happening because it sounds kind of like a hoax because Miss Universe was just bought out. Donald Trump sold his shares and then it's a new management group. It's on a new channel. It's on Fox instead of NBC. And
there was a lot of rumors that it was a hoax. Like, people really did genuinely think that it was or not a hoax. Maybe it was planned from somebody in Donald Trump's camp or, you know, some kind of sabotage or whatever from Trump to get back at Miss Universe organization. you know, I didn't understand why, I guess I missed the whole thing where Donald Trump was no longer in charge of Miss Universe. If they asked him to leave or if he left himself or...
It was part of the debacle when he started his presidential campaign.
Right.
He made some derogatory comments about Latin individuals.
Right, right.
And so somewhere in there, there was a huge backlash and then he sold his shares.
So he sold his shares. Okay. So he, yeah, I couldn't remember if he was asked to step down, but then I was like, well, I thought he owned it or like ran the Miss Universe organization. So I don't know why or how somebody could ask him to step down.
I would imagine that he's probably been in talks with the company they sold it to for mm-hmm. a while. And then it was kind of like, okay, now's a good time to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the questions that always comes up is, are pageants relevant? In 2015, are pageants relevant?
Yeah, that's a good point. Are they?
And honestly, if it was just a normal crowning, I highly doubt that any of us would even be, A, talking. We wouldn't be here mm-hmm. talking about Miss Universe.
Hey, I want to tell you a little more about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. It is the number one tool for mom's peace of mind. It's also a great way to battle the flu. It helps remember temperature, symptoms, and medications. And the best part, it gives you guidance on what to do next. Kinsa remembers for you so you can focus on what really matters. Parents trust it and kids love it. Check it out at kinsahealth.com. It is the world's smartest thermometer. We probably would be. It just might be like in a few weeks from now. Because you've been on my list ever since I met you. You've been on my list of people to call. And then I was like, oh, timing is perfect.
It is. But we wouldn't know who Pia is from Miss Philippines.
That's
we
true.
Wouldn't know, you know, no one would remember the host name. No mm-hmm. one would remember anything. Miss Universe would have died the day after they went on Today Show. Yeah. And that would have been it.
Because honestly, every year, that's sort of what happens. Like, I never know. I mean, I look for during Miss America, I look for Miss Oklahoma and Miss California. Because I'm like, yay, you go, girls.
Right.
But then I don't know their names. I don't know anything that happened. Where do they go after? I know they do a lot of charity work and they, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, are people still watching these pageants? Like they used to.
Well, I will guarantee you that normally I don't make an appointment with my television for Miss Universe, but mm-hmm. chances are since Steve Harvey just signed on to host Miss Universe again next year, I will probably have a date with my television wondering if there's a massive debacle.
So I was watching it as it was going down. My Twitter feed was also blowing up and I was on there like, oh my God, this is crazy. What struck me was how long the awkwardness lingered from between when he announced Miss Columbia to when he sort of wanders off stage for a second. She stands there waving. Then he has to come back on and make a correction. I just wonder from any experiences you have, like how does a breakdown in communication like that happen? Is it from the producer standpoint? Was it all just probably Steve Harvey's mistake or... Like, would something like that even happen?
I don't know, because I've hosted several pageants and even Miss California, and the way you read, it's like so straightforward. Second runner up, first runner up, and then the winner. And it's usually in big letters. This is the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they have a teleprompter there, but they don't announce the winner on the teleprompter because all the girls would already know.
Well, sure.
And so it's the only part that they have on the teleprompter is you may take your walk now, Miss Philippines, after the crowning. And so that's what popped up on the teleprompter.
That's what everyone was saying, because everyone was saying they saw it on the prompter.
Right. And I, you know, the part that I find interesting is that normally crownings are at the very end of the telecast. It's like a minute and a half left. The girl gets crowned. She does her walk. The girls hug her and then cut to credits. This time it was 5 minutes, which is really like a long while beforehand. And the girl that Miss Columbia, the girl incorrectly announced, she was standing out there waving for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. It was a crazy long time.
She doesn't speak English, so she must have just felt really awkward wondering, like, I guess I'll just keep waving and smiling.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was really strange when they had the first runner-up kind of come and stand and kind of wait for the crown as they take one off some, you know, the crown off someone's head and then onto a next. It was really awkward.
Yeah. Who was that came out the first runner-up, or was it from the last year, the previous years?
Columbia. Miss Columbia was the girl incorrectly announced, and then
the former Miss Universe. She's the one that came out and stood between them and was rubbing Miss Columbia's back. The whole thing just seemed like it was either poorly produced, or I don't know if nobody explained to Steve Harvey how the card works. because it did look weird. The screen grab that I saw of it did look really strange, that it had the winner or the first runner up, second runner up on the left side, and then way down on the lower right, the winner. But is that how all of the cards are done, you said? Or like,
you know, they're all done differently. Mm-hmm. But usually, like, as a host, you're so nervous that you want to get it right that you've got your finger on it being like, okay,
yeah,
read it first. And then, yeah, you know, and he also has an earpiece. So there is someone telling him. So it was really a strange thing. I did watch a piece on Perez Hilton post-pageant.
Oh, yeah,
did
yeah.
you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, it was obvious. Every single one of the judges voted for Miss Philippines to win. So there was no chance.
I just wonder if he really was that dumb.
And like, I don't think it's possible. I mean, I'm not one for a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
But it's what will make Miss Universe relevant next year when they're looking for advertising spots when they're looking for product placement and different things, because it will be so heavily tuned in wondering if Steve Harvey is going to get it right.
Yeah. Do you think that, yeah, let's see. Who was it that I saw? It was Miss Germany. I saw the interview with her where they like walked up to her like in a, looked like a hotel bar or something, and asked her, like, I don't even know where they were, but they asked her about it. And she said, no, Miss Philippines shouldn't have won. Nobody voted for her. We didn't want her to win. It should have been Miss Colombia. And my thought was, well, how do you know? You don't get to vote. Like,
right.
And it was just really like, they were like, no, it should have been Miss Colombia. And I just thought that was really interesting, because it didn't seem like the women in the pageant were necessarily for one or the other. But at the end, I don't know. It was just so strange how they all kind of crowded around Miss Colombia, and some people were crowding around Pia, Miss Philippines. But it just seemed very divisive.
But it happens.
Yeah.
It does happen. Like, that has happened at Miss California many a time.
Oh, really? Where they don't crowd around the winner, they crowd around the second runner-up?
Sometimes. I mean, I think it's just reality, right? Like, in anything, some girls are really, really nice and they're great all week. And you can be there and be very focused on competition, but you can also be a really incredible person.
Yeah.
And then there's some girls that are really not so great.
Bitchy.
Yeah. There's really no other word for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I think it shows.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that this type of pageant or these types of pageants bring out that side in women a lot more, that competitive side, because they know what's at stake? Or is it more like everyone's just going to be good friends and, like, you know, meet somebody new? And what's that Sandra Bullock movie where she's
Miss Congeniality?
Yeah.
It's genius.
Miss Congeniality, where they're all like, they just want to be friends.
I mean, that's how I view it. And so when I went to Miss America, we had like flip phones as cell phones, which didn't really ever work. So we were never consumed to social media.
Oh,
so it's 3 weeks.
It's a different world now. Yeah,
it is. It felt like 3 weeks of girls camp. And so we were all that. We had a really great group of women, although there's always a handful that suck. I mean, they're just mean and rude and stereotypical pageant movie should be made about these girls. That's exactly what happens. But I mean, it's both. I think that if you're inclined to be really self-centered and vain, I think the pageants will drive it out of you in a massive way.
But do you think those people win?
Oh, yeah, they do win.
It's interesting.
Because I think on stage you can be phony. I mean, we have all met phony women.
Yeah.
And they do a really great job.
Do you think it seems to me that women, especially coming from like Latin American countries, hello, they have a certain type of beauty that they are all kind of morphing into. And I say morphing because I've seen specials where plastic surgery and shaping to look like the perfect Miss Universe type person is happening a lot in Latin American countries and maybe all over the world. I don't know. But it's just interesting to me how the standard of beauty has changed, it seems. Do you think that that's the case?
I do. And I think with the cost of, well, at least to me, the cost of plastic surgery seemingly going down.
Yeah.
I think that it allows more people the opportunity to morph and change themselves into what they perceive as being beautiful.
Right.
And I know, like, when we went to Colombia, my husband and I went, there is a lot of people that ask if you want to do like what they call a Barbie tour, which is you go there to do plastic surgery and then relax at a resort because it's so much cheaper than what you would do in the United States.
But I can't imagine it's safer. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know.
I have no idea. But when I go on vacation, the last thing I want to do is be in bandages and like post-surgery. Yeah, I want to be on vacation.
And like relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because nobody has imperfections in the pageants. Like nobody does. They all have beautiful teeth, perfect hair, perfect face. And I just wonder, like,
how much of that is real?
How much of it is real? Yeah. And also, like, how much of it is necessary? Like, can we have just somebody maybe with a little Cindy Crawford, you know, mole or something? Like, something that's just maybe a little out of the norm that's like, wow, you're different and special and unusual looking. Like, everybody's trying to look the same.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that's where Miss America is a little bit better than Miss Universe is that they call it the pageant for the girl next door.
Yeah.
And then the Miss Universe organization is the girl they wished live next door. So that's the difference.
I could totally see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
But I'm 5'2". And when I was competing, people told me, like, you're never going to win because
you're short. And were they like, get out of here with your short self?
Yeah, pretty much. And I am half Indian. They had never had an Indian girl win. So there was that. They're like, well, you know, maybe you're too ethnic. It's like, okay,
but that ethnic is really in right now,
and now it's in, but I don't know, 12 years ago it wasn't. And I have a scar on the back of my leg from when I was a little kid, and
oh wow,
they were like, you'll never win swimsuit with a scar like that. And so it's really interesting because there's a
lot
of
what does that do to your psyche, like as a beautiful young woman, what does that do? Like,
you get insecure about yourself. Like, you're already insecure because you're a young woman.
Yeah.
And then you kind of add on different things. But I think there was a part of me that said, well, if we're looking at the phases of competition, you have interview, which is 35%. You have talent, which I think at that point was 25%. Mm-hmm. Evening gown, swimsuit, and then onstage question. None of that says, like, are you ethnic? Are you tall? Are you this? I mean, if you can knock out every phase of competition, there's no reason that you shouldn't be a contender.
Did you wear high heels that were a little higher, just in case?
No, they only made 4-inch heels.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm like, these days you can have like 12-inch heels, I feel like, and go out on stage.
They're all like glamazons. Every time they come walking down the little runway, I'm like, my gosh, these women are gorgeous.
I know.
And they all have, but they all look the same.
They do, but I think they're like trained to think that that's what's beautiful. And I've always wondered that. And like, if you were to wake up the next day, like with your dream man next to you, would you look like that? I mean, your hair is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Your boobs are probably fake. You've got a fake spray tan on. You've got
fake teeth.
You got fake eyelashes. We have like drawn in eyebrows.
I think though that like that's because it's sort of become the norm for the pageants. And you know, most of the pageants, I'm generalizing, the big pageants, baby. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of become the norm though, that's what's expected. Like nobody's going to go out there without those things, you know, the flippers. Do they wear the flippers in the big pageant? Like
they have veneers.
Veneers?
Yeah, that's like the adult version. Yeah, right? It's like the real permanent version. A lot of girls had them. I think even like 12 years ago when I competed, things have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that I had that were fake like glue on eyelashes, because they didn't do like the permanent eyelashes that people seem to wear every day now.
Yeah,
I can't
imagine.
And then the what we call chicken cutlets, which were like the boobs in a box. Push-ups.
Yeah.
Will stick on boobs. Yay. And that was it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of girls with plastic surgery, but it was very, very minimal. But now it has changed a lot. And I think it's interesting because what girls will spend on themselves to get ready far outweighs the scholarship money you're going to win. So I think it's almost kind of ridiculous that we call it a scholarship program for Miss America because you wear a $10,000 dress and you've got all this fake stuff going on.
Yeah,
there's
no
chance.
But is there money to be had on the back end of it once you win the title? That maybe, you know, after the, you know, the scholarship stuff aside, there's endorsements and maybe the possibility of commercial work or acting, or if people want to transition into being like a TV host, which I know a lot of people do.
Miss USA and Miss Universe, absolutely. I mean, I think it segues perfectly into that world. I know the Miss Universe, Olivia Culpo, a couple years ago, who was dating the Jonas brother.
Oh,
she is a model that travels all over the world, and she's pretty tiny. She's 5'2".
Yeah.
And she's made a huge career out of it.
Yeah. So maybe that's what I think, especially now in today's social media driven world, that's the appeal of winning the big title now, is that you don't necessarily, you know, fade away and kind of walk with your crown off into the distance, that you can catapult it into like a host on E! Or like, you know, some entertainment social media guru or whatever.
Miss USA does a really great job because I know that they get a scholarship to the New York Film Academy and mm-hmm. like they have a hosting specialty that they do there. Mm-hmm. And so that I think they prime them into those sorts of spots so for sure. Miss America, on the other hand, doesn't do any of that. And so
you just sort of win your title and then do your year of service and then that's it?
For the most part. I mean, the partnership that you do during your year of Miss America now is with Children's Miracle Network. You are the spokesperson. So there's that. I mean, I know that the girl that was Miss America a year ago, she's now the director of social media marketing of okay. Children's Miracle Network. So it can parlay into a job. With Dick Clark Productions now taking over Miss America, there's a good chance that you could have more of an entertainment sure. career.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened yet.
What is the difference between Miss USA and Miss America, and why do we need both? Do you think?
Well, why do we need both? That's a great question. I don't know if we do. Miss America started as a way to extend tourism on the Jersey Shore in Atlantic City.
Okay.
So they had a bathing beauty contest and they called it Miss America. And so that's how Miss America started.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then, it, you know, over time it went from just being a really beautiful woman to being, and these were women from all over the country, to having a little bit more of a speaking ability and, uh-huh. and so on and so forth. And then I think in the late 80s, one of the Miss Americas did not want to model for Catalina Swimwear, which was a huge sponsor of Miss America. Mm-hmm. And so Catalina Swimwear said, I don't care if you're a feminist or not. You know, we are a huge sponsor. This is why we do it. You have to model. And she said no. So they cut off the sponsorship. And at that time, Catalina Swimwear hooked up, I want to say, with Donald Trump. And that's how Miss USA started.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so they're very different. So Miss America is a nonprofit organization. Miss USA is a very for-profit organization.
I see. That would explain why there seems to be a feel of a little more pizzazz, a little more showmanship with the Miss USA, Miss Universe pageants rather Agreed. Than Miss America.
I think, you know, although it makes me feel bad, I think that Miss USA and Miss Universe are more relevant in an entertainment field today than yeah. Miss America. Because Miss America's telecast, they can't seem to figure out what's going to get the ratings, and they can't keep yeah. Miss America relevant during the year. If we're going to say, well, she needs to be red carpet ready, which is what they're saying now with mm-hmm. Dick Clark Productions, mm-hmm. because she hosts it, or she presents awards at the American Music Awards and Country Music Awards and so on and so forth.
Right.
Well, then we need to have what Donald Trump has, which is like Farouk Systems, like donating hair products and teaching her what to wear and having a stylist. And,
yeah, yeah.
And those things aren't happening. Miss America has a sponsor, Joseph Ribkoff, which probably makes really great clothes, but he's out of Canada. And I think...
That's weird.
Right. I mean, even in like LA, there's like such a fashion mecca here, yeah, or New York.
Or New York, yeah.
They should be able to hook it up in some way, shape,
That's
or form.
That's so interesting. Why? I wonder if they are, if it's just sort of run by people who are kind of set in their ways and like it's all about tradition and this is just what we've always done. So this is what we're always going to do. And we're going to let, you know, Donald Trump's flashy Miss USA do her thing, kind of, you know, or if, wonder why that is. They're not going after more of the spotlight.
I think it's exactly what you said. I think a lot of it is living in the past. Mm. And I think Donald Trump or Miss Universe is because they're profit driven.
Yeah.
Because they're for profit.
Yeah.
When you're profit driven, you start to make decisions that keep you relevant.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing that Miss America is missing, is that relevant. And I think that a lot of times, like the talent competition, I think some of the really incredible talents are missed out on because they're not in the top 10. And,
you
know,
like everybody sings.
And they don't sing well.
And they don't sing well. It's like,
and they don't dance well.
No. Nobody's doing anything that's like, whoa, that's freaking talent. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's not like they're not talented, but it's just okay.
And Miss America doesn't allow people to have professional hair and makeup for the telecast, which I think is the worst thing you could possibly
do. They have to do all their own hair and makeup and everything?
And that's why you can tell. It looks,
oh my gosh,
not so good. It would be so much better to have a company come out like CoverGirl.
I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked by that. I'm on a national stage like that and in front of the entire U.S., like that they don't have somebody doing hair and makeup.
No.
Wow. I mean, our own local like news channels here have hair and makeup before they go into
news. And people look better that way. And that's, Miss Universe is huge on having that picture perfect telecast.
Oh, for sure.
And I think it's like, to me, when I look at it now, I'm like, ooh, I kind of wish I like competed at Miss USA. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I wonder what my life would be like.
Did you? So when you went as Miss California, you went to Miss America.
Yes.
And then did you only compete in that? Do you only get one chance to compete in that as a representative of your state, or how does that work?
You get one shot.
One shot. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can you go back through the system again? Like if you wanted to go back and compete for Miss California again after Miss America, you can't go back and do it again?
It's one and done. That's really? It. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So it's pretty cool.
But also like, what a bummer. Like you spend all that time and all that
money. I mean, I guess so. But I was standing up there and I'm like, I was in the top five. So I got to compete in almost every phase of competition. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think I want to be Miss America.
You're okay with it?
I was okay with that. Obviously, I would never say no to being Miss America. Sure. But when we were standing up there, there was a part of me that was like, I just don't think that tomorrow I want to leave my family and friends in California travel. And travel all over the country.
Yeah. It would be a lot of pressure. It would be a lot of work.
It's with Miss Universe, they have an apartment in New York City mm-hmm. that they all share. Mm-hmm. And so that's their home base. As Miss America, you have no home base.
What?
And so you're out of a suitcase. Every 48 hours, you change location.
Oh, my gosh.
And you switch suitcases. Like your parents send you two suitcases. You send them back two suitcases every 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
It's a little different.
Why? Yeah, that's so different. And that's so interesting as to why they make those decisions in this day and age, especially with, I'm sure there's got to be lots of companies that would love to sponsor Miss America.
I agree, but that's why you see Miss America wearing the same clothes a lot of times for 2 weeks, and then it changes, and then it changes again.
Wow.
The inside secrets.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Can we talk for a second about the question period? Like the
Of course.
It's always the most awkward for me to watch. And I don't know. And I'm talking about all the pageants.
Absolutely.
Is it because they're nervous that the questions are so uncomfortable sometimes? Or is it just maybe a language barrier? I know that doesn't apply in Miss America and Miss USA. But like, what's going on with the questions? Because it's usually like the worst part.
I mean, I think it's nerves. I mean, if you were in front of like a bajillion people on television, like trying to go for your dream and someone asked you a question, you're going to be super nervous and you're not going to hear the question probably right.
Right.
But I also don't think that they ask the right questions. Like when
they're always weirdo questions. Like, and what would you say to the leader of ISIS if he was standing in front of you? Like, oh my God, what? I mean, they're just crazy questions that these girls who are, you know, standing there in these gorgeous gowns, like, trying to look, you know, poised and everything. It's like, and how would you cure AIDS? What?
But
how?
Doesn't it just want to make you say, and world peace?
Because and world peace!
If
totally.
You could answer these questions, you should probably be the president of the United States.
Yeah, they're so crazy. And I want to know if the judges, I'm sure the judges are not really coming up with these questions.
They're not. They're like someone in production producer, has come up with these because possibly someone could have a smart answer.
Yeah.
Or maybe it'll make ratings go skyrocketing.
Do you remember that girl a few years ago? Where's she from? Tennessee? I don't know if it was Miss USA or Miss America.
Oh, the teen South Carolina where she couldn't figure out.
Bless her heart.
Where Iraq was.
Yeah, or like she was like just rambling on about where different parts of the country were. And it was like, oh, you poor thing. And like she became like a meme and a gif. It was horrible. But I just think, I know these are intelligent women, and I just get so nervous for them because the questions, you're right, are really like, here, solve the world's problems, you know, in 30 seconds.
It just isn't. The questions don't make sense. And and honestly, wearing like a cocktail dress seems really inappropriate because they're saying these questions should be like, if you were at an event as Miss America, how would you answer them? Well, I have never been to a dinner party nor an event where I was a special guest or speaker where I've been asked about these sorts of current events.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to happen. So I don't know why we ask them.
So, and do you think that they should do away with the questions, or maybe they should just start asking different questions?
I mean, I think something that would be more relevant would be, you know, obviously there's a huge partnership with Children's Miracle Network. So either asking something about being an ambassador for them, or we all have our own personal platforms, something that would be more relevant to being who you are.
To the individual, like what would you do during, like what would be your primary focus during your reign kind of a thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Or, you know, like how do you deal with, like, you know, something that deals with a job, like best place to travel. What I don't know. I mean, those are kind of cheesy questions.
No. I understand what you're saying. But yeah, they do tend to ask them like really crazy.
Which is why at Miss Universe, I appreciated the final question, asking them why they thought they should be Miss Universe.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they don't, you know, other pageants don't ask that, because that seems like a pretty important question.
But you did see there that even that question can be very difficult to answer.
Yes. Oh, bless their hearts.
I know.
Oh, dear. I know. I can't imagine the nerves. Can we talk quickly about Toddlers and Tiaras? Do you watch that show? And what do you think about young girls like coming up through the pageant system?
I am personally not a fan. Mm-hmm. If I had a daughter, that's not something that I would hope that she'd do. But mm-hmm. if she was really interested in it as she got older, then I would indulge her in that. But I think it's really good for me, like just as a mother, for kids to get out and play and just be natural and to embrace themselves yeah. And to learn how to be confident in being themselves. And so I don't think that necessarily, you know, even these young girls, they put on flippers, which are the fake teeth. They have yeah. fake tans and their hair is all done. And I don't know if I think that's a good hobby.
No. And it's mostly, I think, driven by the parents, by the moms, usually, who either were in pageants or always wanted to be in pageants. And they, you know, every mom thinks that they have the best looking child. You know, we all think that our child is the next Miss America.
Absolutely.
To put them on a stage in a big fluffy dress and spray tan them and curl their hair and put on fake eyelashes and all that stuff. It's not something I ever have a desire to do, and I hope Channing never wants to do it, because I might have a problem.
I would too. I mean, you would hope to steer them away, and yeah. I don't think it's hard to tell, like, especially little girls, like, we want you to be you mm-hmm. and to love who you are, but wait, for this, what we're going to do is we're going to change everything about you.
Everything about you, yeah.
That doesn't seem to send the right message.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so final thoughts on Miss Universe, really quick. So Steve Harvey's coming back next year. Yes. Will you be watching?
I think as long as I'm going to put a reminder into my iPhone mm-hmm. and hope that I remember, because I really want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. And final thoughts on conspiracy. Do you think this was planned? Do you think that there was some larger force at work here, or just a flub on Steve Harvey's part?
I don't want to believe that there was a conspiracy theory going on, because I cannot imagine being the pawn in that game. Miss yeah. Columbia. You know, whether you are aware or not, to be the mm-hmm. pawn in that game is terrible. I would never want that. Like, here's your dream. Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind. We were just kidding. That's now been shattered. But there is a part of me that says there's something so different about that telecast, especially since it just got sold by Donald Trump mm-hmm. on Fox News. Pageants are not really relevant anymore. Miss yeah. Universe has not gotten great coverage over the years. It's come and gone, and we've moved on with our lives. And this year, it's made a mark.
But I wonder who would benefit from that. Because if
Donald, I mean, the ratings, I mean, the replays yeah. have to have gone through
the new
roof.
Owners or the new whoever's in charge of Miss Universe. They would
absolutely. I think there'll be more endorsements this year because Miss Universe is relevant. She's now a household name.
Because this has never happened before in the history of the Miss Universe or any pageant, really, has it?
No.
Never.
No. I mean, not that I'm aware of.
I looked too, and I couldn't find any instance where this has happened.
I think that it's much more relevant now. And you talk about booking Miss Universe for events. Everybody's yeah. going to want her. People are going to yeah. want to talk about this over and over and over again. Maybe not for Miss Universe, but for this
yeah.
this instance.
And what do you think this is going to leave any sort of negative mark on her reign, on Pia's reign?
I don't think so. I mean, I think she's going to have to get very comfortable talking about it. And based on some press releases that I've seen her in, mm-hmm. I think she's handling it really, really well.
Do you know her or any of the women competing right now?
I don't.
Yeah, I didn't know if you are friends with any of them. I don't know if you guys hang out together in like a special pageant, like
click
no. club. Or you guys are all together. It's like a sorority, I'm sure. Like,
I mean, I think it's like anything. The girls that I competed with, it is like a sorority. So we all are all friends, and Facebook makes that super easy to be yeah. friends. But we don't have any super secret social events that we do or like handshakes or underground like get-togethers. No.
Oh, okay. That's
but if we did, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I know, right? It would all be secret. It would all be secret. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and letting me like pick your brain about pageants and about. I knew the minute you tweeted me, I was like, oh my God, I know she has cool stuff to say about Miss Universe. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can everybody find you on social media? You're on Twitter and Instagram?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Vina Crownholm. And then I have my website, which is VinaGoellCrownholm.com.
Excellent. Okay, everybody. And I'll put links to that on MotherhoodAndHollywood.com as well. Vina, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
Yay. All right, you guys. Thanks so much for listening. And make sure you check out MotherhoodAndHollywood.com for more information about Vina and our show today. And follow me on Twitter at MIH Podcast and on Facebook and Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood. Have a great week, everybody. Bye. Balls.